From a place apart, Morpheus, god of dreams, awakes. Detached from the benevolent folds of the muse, he presses against the blue and bursts into form. Flying high, with neither love nor remorse, he regards his charge, a young man asleep within the cloth of a voyage, which is turning ever so slowly, even as the widening skirt of an ecstatic. Passenger and those he leaves behind, connected for a moment by a long unwinding ribbon, a streamer cast and caught with joy, a ribbon of light snapping, pitched and tossed, wrapping around a wrist, gasping upon a wave or trampled upon. Below, passengers suddenly flattened. Perhaps it is the sight of the white crate, or his beloved port, or a loved one fading, a tiny dot dissolving in the vast, rainy sea. Soon, he is taken over as well by a sense of relief, of weightlessness, or by the outrageous scent of his own volition. The air is sweet. The arm of the sea curves and cradles, subduing all passion, and is a comfort and a lure. Passenger M is musing, addressing perhaps the void, the pit of the will which he pops like a stemless cherry. He regards his empty hand, the indifferent sea. If he were to step upon that sea, would he be swallowed like an insect or supported like a king? Might he remove his slippers and walk upon the waves amongst the tiny fishes and draw from the swell a symphony of moans and hisses? The sun appears from behind a rolling cloud, sign the passenger lets slide his thoughts, and he goes down and down into the ship, where he is suddenly sleepy. With a nod to the elements, he turns and makes way to the cabin. The sun and sea, as a courtesy, commingle. The rays ring and sparkle, lacquering the surface as if in preparation for the perfect walk. The throw. The sea was as dense as a rocka, prosaic, unbroken, but the shadows, they seem to be everywhere, invading every hollow, every secret place, as a flapping of wings, where there were no birds, not even a gull, not even a sound. There was a flapping of wings, and no birds, nothing. Outside the stateroom by the cabin door, a pair of dress boots stood guard. Within, a pair of custom shoes and their felt bags lay at the foot of a cot, a magnificent cot dressed in Egyptian linen, and upon it lay the sleeper, dreaming beneath a faded throw. It was a lovely thing, a throw, in an unusual shade of green, a burnished leaf, forming in place among the threads of a protective vine. It all draped. Piece of cloth that it had draped an old man's shoulders, and something of him was pressing within its weathered folds. On the bed stood objects. They were meshing with the shifting light, a pack of Galois, a ring carved from a single nugget, and a small portrait, slightly blurred. It was blurred in an oval flame. The flame flickered and made a frame around his face. A youth in sailor garb, eyeing the world a bit suspiciously, and maintaining an air delicate as a lash, and possessing a manner at once smooth and brittle as a silk fag. Dipped into a pool and then left hanging on a thorn on a winter's afternoon. The same young man was sleeping. His portrait seemed to move. The blurring of his face created a movement. The young man in the sailor cap, looking at the world, that admonishing look, that suspicious look regarding the world. I am here, declaring his existence. I am here. I will create mysteries. I will recreate old mysteries. I will break apart new mysteries. To the Solomon Islands, dreaming of himself, of a boy who shuddered at every turn, of a boy who constructed his own universe, of a boy who reclaimed an altar within a tiny grotto, of a boy who brushed the walls matte blue, dotted them with pale stars, of a boy whose candle burned, revealing slim boxes of incense. And among the stones and burnt sticks, a small statue layered in dust. He wiped it with his sleeve and righted it. A swarm of half-formed prayers nodded. A swarm of half-formed prayers buzzed around his nodding head. How many times has he had to kneel praying? How much does he have to pray? How much has he prayed since a child? Boy, an old boy, all his life, praying to be somewhere else, rodeo star, a man straddling a mare, or a motorbike with wings. How many times has he prayed to be out of here, and to just rise up from a pool of sweat, of feathers, and a mouth full of fright. Regard with amazement the bright, turbulent sky. He would lie in the grass upon the green blades, his green eyes closing and the sun drawing him into sleep. And I knelt sun, her green eye, perfect bag, we lay there, nestling in the keep of the ship. Just as he had nestled in the arms of his mother, in the caring arms of his uncle, in the shadows, they seemed to be everywhere. They were playing on him, defying his boots and the cast silhouettes, nervous and dancing, a thick rope swinging, and the shadows meshed into his own night, flapping, skimming the stillness outside the porthole, and the cabin claimed him, and the cabin was him, and there was an aura of perfection, even into the placement of objects, and the objects themselves, so that one, upon entering, would question nothing, would merely enter and find oneself lying upon the cot, austere, inviting, dressed in Egyptian linen, without knowing why. He lay there, in a ray of starlight, perfectly placed. Everything around him was perfectly placed, even the way the stars dropped their light, even the way the moon rose. He opened his eyes. He closed them. He felt warm sensation, as if his mother was covering him with a green throw. He was destined to be ill, quite ill. Though it was not apparent, youth alone would seem to account for his feverish spirit, but the fever was becoming more and more demanding. The romantic garden within him raged with wild blooms which he plucked and carelessly tossed in every direction, for he was no naturalist. He was more the archer, spraying arrows in a clearing, suddenly sprouting statues. He had conjured a pedestal for his own amusement, and he sat upon it and he spun around. Art, art, not nature moved him. Nature, he had boasted, was meant to be redesigned and opened and folded like a fan. His delicate eyes saw with clarity what others did not. His delicate eyes saw with clarity what others did not. His delicate eyes saw with clarity what others did not. Now, a man, he adored a ruby flask, but ignored its contents. He had ignored the cries of his own blood to linger over a particularly fine engraving or the feel of an exceptional sail. He had ignored nature, and now nature turned to him and said, "Boy, I am taking you." And he turned to her for his salvation, and he set aboard to make peace with her, bowing to her mysteries, to hear the divinity, to set right destiny. His appointed hour, his appointed lot, his appointed garden would be overgrown with delicious vines, which he would feast upon. Spun within the womb of silk. He was going to move into his own cocoon. He was not going to give up. He was going to move into his own cocoon. He was going to defy nature. He would seduce her. He would become one with her. He would move into the cocoon.
legendary butterfly, which he'd attacked to his chest, as Pan had attacked him, attached to his shadow, as Pan had attached a shadow, he would get it right.
Eyes of his creator, the youth upon the bridge.
regarded with irony his feverish wand. Vegetation papered his cabin. Tongue, moss, fern, and great fish leapt and became trophies in his hand, and the stag advanced and licked his palm. How should I be charged? How should I be charged? How should I be charged? Should I be charged for wanting so much? For wanting so much bounty? For wanting so much beauty? For rearranging eyes? For being one with nothing? I wanted nothing less than to embrace the spine of the mountain. When the light played on, when the light played on.
The value of his organs, all that would be gone, his heart, his lungs, his veins. For it occurred to him earlier, as the captain made a dangerous pass close to a reef, that he wished to be cremated. He wanted to be cremated. The first bit of ash poured into a matchbox, and entrusted to another damned young man, a sailor slipping in without ceremony into the inner pocket of his coat. Pictures. An entire inventory. File. Offering. Salute. An oversized chitin with dancers and silhouette. Blue, black, yellow, coarse hands. A scar dresser. Cluster of grapes.
Back on his pillar, and he said, surface, surrendering upon a bed of leaves in the good places of sleep in the fog.
Resifting, and the sea was exceptionally green. Bells sounded. Ellie wished to shut them out. Beneath closed eyes, images, roots, crisscross. How long? How long? Found himself in the corridor of an unexplored section of the ship. He had wandered below, seduced by the scent of a familiar aria. He stood for a moment before a white enamel door, then slid to a crouching position to listen. After a time, he was carried away, the strains of music tightening around him, forming a cocoon within, which he dropped into sleep. A woman opening the heavy door and another reality. Here is where you are to be tonight, the aria breathed, parting her garment, and he was enveloped once more. There was a singing in his skull. He felt the victim of some mischievous transformation. He pressed the wide, curving walls for support and was relieved to re-enter his
rejected several shirts. Their material, extremely fine, seemed across a black heath.
Pressed the damp bags against his closed lids and fell into a series of He opened up his clenched fist and he was crushing a very large pearl. It was a true pearl.
Yeah.
disrobed. He stood before the long glass, and he dressed slowly, deliberately. Several deep breaths, for his heart, deeply fueled by his assertive action, was beating madly. He turned and he surveyed the cabin, the ebony blue check, and the translucent picture in the wall, and his crafting instruments, and the comfortable inkwell, and everything in which they had cast so many times, and nothing was jarred. Everything was as he wished, everything was placed by his hand, everything was perfect.
Thank you.
crux, cross.
Oh.